Okay. We're holding over here today. We're going to try to cover two different things. Not really totally cover, but at least try to get through two different things here. both of them, you know, thank God, nice and involved. First of all, we want to try to be metaich a little bit more the sugya on Mitzvah Shein that we started yesterday with the Reb Chaim. Again, if anyone has one of the new Reb Chaim sheets that anyone was, they were nice enough to photocopy, that's great. If not, it's also great, doesn't really matter that much. But the story is as follows. If anyone wants to look in with me, you can be more than happy also. We have like this.
Is it Al Ramam or Al
Hashem? What? Al Hashem.
Okay.
If you remember yesterday, which hopefully there's a chance we might, some of us remember, but for those of us who weren't here yesterday, for those of us who weren't here and couldn't possibly remember, we had seen Tosef's Kashya. Tosef has a question about the Gemara has a rule that you can't make the guy, the Eid Zom, into a Chal because of Lovel, of Zaro, and Kashya Zom, etc. He asked Tosef, okay. So let's take the following scenario. The Eidim testify that a person is a Mitzvah Shein. Mitzvah Shein's children are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. He gets caught as an Eid Zomim. Tosfos assumes, we discussed yesterday, Yachronim debate that assumption, but Tosfos assumes that the halacha would be that you do not make the Eid Zomim into a Mitzvah Shein, rather you give him Malka. Ask Tosfos the basic question, why? Well, why not make him a Mitzvah Shein? His kids wouldn't have been puzzled. They need those kids, wouldn't have been puzzled anyway. So if you make me a Mitzvah Shein, it's not going to affect my kids. That's classic hazama going on over there. Why wouldn't we do that? Tosfos points out that there should be a concept of lo velo l'ishto, and since the Mitzvah Shein, by having deal with his wife, is going to invalidate her from being able to marry a Kohen, Ishruma, etc. You're affecting somebody else. You can't have a zum like that. That's why you give him Malchus. Okay, we also saw yesterday, Kiva Eger, in the Gilyan Ashad, points out it's very nice. So the Teretz, except it's only according to one opinion in the Gemara, this is a baby. There's a sheet of Yossi in the Gemara, and Yavamas of Samaches. So Yossi points out that there is, that the wife of a Mitzvah Shein is not mischalelas, is not invalidated at all. In that case, you're not bothering anybody, right? So what are we going to do, according to that opinion? Why is it, and how does it work, that we wouldn't make the Eid Zomim into a Mitzvah Shein? Okay, we saw yesterday also the idea of the Meiri on that, but that's not for now. It happens to be in the Achronim, there's a couple of very, very, very smooth and nice, beautiful, classic poetry, emotion, Lamdash Tzeirutim about that question, which we're going to try to go through as well. Again, having not so much to do with the Makos at all, but directly relating, obviously, to that question. And Mamish, beautiful idea. We start with the Reb Chaim, since that's the thing that some of you at least, that opted to try to work through this morning. Others took the easy road and just skipped everything that they didn't understand or couldn't read. Who could that be? Now, Reb Chaim basically comes along and says as follows. Now, the truth is, I am hoping that some of you might have had some slight degree of recognition over here, because you actually did one paragraph out of this Reb Chaim at an earlier date. Okay, yeah. I'm glad somebody says, yeah, very good. Shka.
No, we did.
Yes, we did. I know that. Thank you very much. I noticed that also, right? And so we have like this. Reb Chaim starts off, right? We're going to pick and choose what we're reading inside, because I want to make sure we get at least through this first sugya before we move on to the next one. In the very first paragraph that you have over here, Reb Chaim basically just asks over Tosef's question, gives Tosef's answer, points over Kiva Eger's question, and says, okay, so they'd like to try to figure out what the answer is. Again, we're faced with that same exact problem. Why not, when you have a guy testifying about a friend that he's a Mitzvah Shein, why not make the Eid Zomim into a Mitzvah Shein? So Reb Chaim has a very interesting analysis over here to explain why that would not to be true. With a classic Lamdisha style. This is really one of these ABCs that people should know if they're trying to experiment within the world of Lamdisha. And again, I definitely want to read it inside. You should get used to the Lashonos, especially those who tried to read it inside and had a hard time. So let's read it and see what's going on. But we're going to read quick. L'chora nir, what it seems to me at first light is like this. This is the part that you did. By Ben Grusha, we know there are stringencies, but there are also leniencies to make a person into a chala. For example, Chumros are shepasul l'kahuna. kulos, what are the leniencies? Shemutr, but psule kuna. The cholol is now allowed to marry people that he wouldn't have been able to marry before, and that's a leniency. It comes about, again, it's related to the stringency that he's a cholol. But in the mighty, he has a break. The eishlis tafik b'hachta ben gerusha, ilav b'hach akra de lo v'lo v'zaro. Let's say Reb Chaim says theoretically we didn't have such a drush of lo v'lo lezaro, but you nasim eidim ben gerusha, and we would have made the eidim into a real chalom, eidim zomim into a chalom. Now ma yehayadin ha'eidim im nasim ben gerusha gam lekula lehetid the psule kula olo. Would we have said about those eidim zomim? Yes, punishing you by making you a chalom. Again, let's assume like Rashi shot in the Mishnah that we speak about Eidim Zomim who are Kohanim themselves. Okay, we're going to stick you with the, what do you call it, with the restrictions of a Cholol, but do we apply the leniencies also? Are you a real Cholol, or again, like we described the other day, or is it just a Din Hanhaga? Uluch Orer, Reb Chaim says, alright, Poshet Yalakulos Loshayet Din Bekashya Zomim. It would make sense to say that you can't punish a person by giving him candy, by giving him leniency. That's not a punishment. You're bad in class, you have to give you $5. That doesn't make any sense. What kind of punishment is that? The guy's an eight zomim, all of a sudden he's allowed to marry whoever he wants. It's hard to understand. So in Kayla Inyan Zelo, Yasu Aidin Cloud Ben Gerusha, El Allah Khumra, so it makes sense that it should be just for the stringency. They're not rack. Al Zeh Shayat Adin at the Kashas. I mean, it's only about that would we say that we can apply the concept of do to you that which you schemed it to do to the other. Again, like we described back then that first week, you were not planning on doing the guy a favor. By you testifying falsely that he's a chala, you were trying to detriment him, trying to get him, not give him a pat on the back. Ulam, however, of Chaim says, and here's what starts to get relevant to us. Nireb, the Yasu ben Gerusha Lakol Dover. I think no. I think it makes more sense that you would become a real Ben Gerusha, even Lakula. I forgot that the Shaykh Lakula is Dindakash Azamam. Why? Dihine, because. Hoda Ben Gerusha Mutter Bepsule Kahuna. Again, here we have to get the ideas now a little bit clear. The idea that a Ben Gerusha, a Chalo, is allowed to marry someone who another Kohen is not, what we call Psule Kahuna. Hello, holo heavy Din Bifne Asmo. That's not a separate. I'm going to explain all of this soon. Eladad din psul, the fact that we've labeled him as pasul to be Ovid the Avodah or the Truma, that gorem there, that causes, creates the heter for him to marry the psul kahuna. Kevin the nifsa, the kahuna, since he becomes invalidated. Ve'ena love kedushas kahuna, and he no longer has the sanctity of kahuna. Al kein mutter ubepsule kahuna. Then it works out that he's mutter to marry someone who another kohen's not allowed to. In other words, let's rephrase that sentence into a simple English sentence over here. Why? Okay, just try to get the right expressions here. Why is a regular kohen not allowed to marry a grusha? Not just because the Torah says it. That's true, but why? What's the idea? What does that reflect? Huh? Good. Because he has Kedushas Kahuna. The fact that he has that Kedushas Kahuna, that prohibits him from being able to marry things that aren't in sync, or I shouldn't say things, we marry people, it prohibits you from marrying people that aren't in sync on par with that level of Kedusha, right? That's the way it is. The Torah, of course, defines what things stand in contradiction to his Kahuna, but his Kedusha, rather. But his Kedusha, the Kedusha's Kahuna, prevents him from, so to speak, lowering himself to other things. But the moment, Reb Chaim points out over here, the moment that you say, sorry Charlie, you don't have that Kedusha anymore, that's gone, what now happens? Because he doesn't have that Kedusha, he's like everybody else, right? That's been taken away, so fine, so you're regular. The Nimsa, Reb Chaim explains, the Akulush of Ben Gerusha, the leniency of marrying the whoever it is Noveya Meya Chumra Vapsul, that stems from, flows from the very stringency and the psul. So let's come back to the Edom Zomim. It's true that regarding leniencies, you don't punish with a leniency. You couldn't come along and say, oh, you are scheming to make that guy allowed to marry a grusha, we're going to let you marry her. That's not a punishment. Nevertheless, but since by the stringency of the psul, we could have applied kashya zamam in theory, if not below the zaro, in kenarayin kapsulim. That means we're basically saying that this kohen Eid Zomim is a guy who's posel. Ein Tzrichim Lezed Din Dekashis Amon Klal. And the reason, the ultimate reason, why would have made him allowed to marry a grusha is not a function of the hazama, but rather a function of the fact that, bottom line, as we've said, the guy doesn't have the kedusha of the kahuna. So by removing his kedusha, by punishing him, and we all understand that this is definitely a punishment to say you're not considered a kohen. No, sure. So by who's the kohen at all? So if I call it the example, okay, no offense here. But by punishing you and saying, right, by coming along, these are these next couple of days, by coming along and saying, and you now have lost your Kedushas Kuna, that's a punishment. You go back to your room crying more than you were yesterday, right? That's sad. But what happens though, is that if you're no longer a Kohen, right, you need to get lowered down to his level, right? Our next bummum over there. And that is truly something to be sad about. Okay, and then, but you'd be allowed to marry whoever it is. Says Reb Chaim, it's all one big punishment. Don't be so happy about marrying the Gerusha, even though you might like her and want to marry her. Why can you marry her? Because you're a loser, right? You lost out on your Kedusha Kuna. Now you have a problem. The question now becomes like this. And here Reb Chaim has a beautiful, beautiful piece of analysis. It takes a little bit long to get through, but let's roll. Hina yesh lachkor b'psulei kohol. Now you have the next category. Not psulei kahuna, but things that we call, people that we call psulei kohol. Of course, meaning people are not allowed to marry into the general category of Jews. People you're not allowed to marry, okay? And Ammoni, Mitzri, all those kinds of, Mamzer, all of those people. The rule is, the kol apsulin mutarim lavo ze bazeh. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the fourth parak in Kiddushin, anyone who's puzzled can't marry a Jew is allowed to marry each other. The mamzers with the mitzris, with the nesinim and the amonim, and all the different people are allowed to use the word intermarry, if you will, cross marry into the psulin. Question is why? The Chaim says like this: Im heiterim hu midin psulam. Do we say what? The heter for me, for the mamzer, to marry the mitzri is because if I'm pasul, if you want to use the expression less than a regular Jew, okay, so all of us untouchables, all of us second class citizens, we're allowed to marry second class citizens. The kaven the yeshlem din psul, if in fact I have a status of being pasul to marry anyone else, perhaps poka minayu, it's removed from them, the kedusha kol, the basic Kedusha Yisrael perhaps is a little bit less. You're literally, according to this one option, a second class citizen. You're not a regular Jew. And therefore, Jews can marry Jews, but a second class Jew can't marry a Jew, but he can marry another second class. They're the same. Okay, Mutar and Bapsuleiko. Oh, or do we say something different? Okay, here's where it gets a little bit more tricky. Ain Talawi Zeh Bazeh. They have nothing to do with each other. The ain has teira mishum the yeshlan din psul. The heter is not, since you have an invalidation, the nifka mehem kedushas kol. Since you have that invalidation, we don't say that the kedushas yisrael has been removed from you. No. Kim ze din miyuchad, this is a special, separate halacha, the psulin mutarim lavo ze bazeh, that postal people are allowed to marry into each other. Let me rephrase the Reb Chaim. Let's see if you can summarize the Reb Chaim just said. What are the two sides of the coin? Two ways of viewing why a psul kol, why the moms are allowed to marry mitzri, or etc. Yeah, give it a shot, Nisa.
Okay, so basically either that the psul causes you to lose your kedusha and then you're allowed to marry, or that you're allowed to marry is a din b'tiyamsa, it's a din by itself.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. But I want to take it one step further, okay? What's the real, there's an important point that I'll be able to get. What's the real underlying question? What are the real two sides of that coin? Not just the question of what's the dynamic, why is the guy allowed to marry someone else's possible. What's the real underlying question that Chaim brought up? Still the base, same thing you said. I want to know beneath that even. The real central question is what? Give it a shot. Try anyway. You can't be worse than that. What was that? Huh? Nothing to say. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go like this. The real question is, tell me if you think this makes sense, or tell me if you're going to say where I'm coming from. The real question in Mr. Chaim, what he just asked is, does a person who has whatever the psul is, we'll use the example of the mamzer and the mitzvah, just to make it easier for you, I'll keep using those examples, does that person actually, are we really willing to claim that he's called less of a Jew, less of a Kedushas Yisrael, second class citizen, or not? Right? If they're going to say that the guy is looked at as having a second class Jewish status, right? So then Reb Chaim pointed out, if that's the case, we certainly understand very simply, right, why he's allowed to marry the other second class people. They're the same, they're in that group, they're not regular Jews with the full level of Kedusha, right? So boom, you can't marry them, but you can marry in the whole psul category. If on the other hand, you don't want to claim that, and you would want to say, no, this guy, yes, he can't marry a Jew, but he doesn't have less of a Jewish status than anybody else. There's just an iser. You're a mamzer. Very nice. You're a Jew, full thing. You can have a nice little bar mitzvah at the kotel, etc. The only thing is, you can't marry another Jew. It's an iser for him to marry somebody else. Why is it mutter for him to marry another mamzer or a mitzri? Because that's also the halacha. There's also a separate din that says that the people who can't marry the other Jews are allowed to marry within the category of psulim. But that's not because you're all second-class citizens and all of that. You're allowed to marry the other psulim because that's what the halacha says. Are you a Jew the same as anybody else? Yes, we are. Pat yourself on the back. I'm the same as you. That's very nice. I can't marry you. There's an iser. And again, if we stop and think about that, right, what we're really saying is that even the iser to marry into Klal Yisrael doesn't make any sense. So why can't the mamzer marry? He's not less, he doesn't have the cooties, he's not diseased, he's not deranged, it's just, there's a rule that you can't marry somebody else. If that's the case, it's equally understandable that there's another rule that says you can marry what someone else who has the same issue as you do. Very, very nice. But what is it? What's the rule? Says Reb Chaim like this. He's a beautiful diak over here in a Rambam. The Rambam writes the following rule. Psua daka. Psua daka is basically a person who is castrated, doesn't have his male organs functioning right now. He's also lavo bekol. We know the rule is the pasuk in Chumash, the psua daka is not allowed to marry any regular Jew. Says the Rambam, v'hovel psua daka also lavo bekol. Since he's not allowed to marry into the kol, into the regular Klal Yisrael, lo gozu bo al nesinim v'al hasveka. Chazal never placed some of these stringencies, nesinim, as a category of people that midrabanan at least aren't allowed to marry Jews. Asugin yivamis, if you ever learned the third parak in Makkos before they come up, or ksubis, it comes up in a lot of different places. In nesinim, a group of people converted in the times of both Moshe ben Yeshua, David HaMelech, discussions in the Gemara about them. So the Chazal said, listen, yes, we're asking these people from marrying Yisinim, it's okay for you to do so. About Psua Daku Kros Shafcha, also B'mamzeres Batot. But they're not allowed, the Rambam says, they're not allowed to marry the Psulim. They can't marry a Mamzer, Sharia Sura Minatora. The Mamzer, who's an Isser Deoraita, the Psua Daku, the Rambam says, is not allowed to marry them. But things that are also only Midrabana, that we don't have a problem with. Says the Rambam as follows. Says the Chaim as follows. It's Tzorach Biyur. But we have to explain something here. Maishna the Hutter of Psule Kahuna, the Lob of Psule Kol. Why is it that a Psua Daka is allowed, he's Mutter, to marry some of the people that a Kohen, a regular Kohen, would not be allowed to marry, but Psule Kol, he's not allowed to marry? Where does this idea come from? The Psua Daka himself is possible, lo yovo psua daka b'kahal Hashem, but he has stringency. He's not allowed to marry into other people. Well, the fees are nicha, but based on what my question actually makes sense to you, he writes, the psule kahuna, and the whole idea of a psule kahuna is, ha-heter mistaif min ha-psul. The heter stems from the iser. Like we described, you lost your status of a kohen, good, and allowed to marry the people that kohanim aren't allowed to marry. If the Kohen becomes a Psua Daka and is now invalidated from doing all the Kohen stuff, the Paka Mine Kedusha Kuna, the Kedusha the Kuna has left, Harayu Mutter, but Psulim. He's going to be allowed to marry Psulim. But Masha'ein, otherwise, people who Kohanim can't marry, for example, etc. Masha'ein, the Grushas and all of that. Masha'ein Kena Hester, the Psule Ka. Though that's not true, Reb Chaim says, when it comes to the people who aren't allowed to marry the regular Jew. We're going to say over there, we're not going to say that they're heters because they're not part of the seaboard. It's not because, oh, you can't marry a Jew, therefore you've lost everything. No. The Alkein, the Psua Daka, Kevendu Bechlau Kol, if you're going to say that the Psua Daka is a Jew, which he certainly is, El the Ifsa Lova Bechol, he's a Jew who's not allowed to marry other Jews. Lo Hutter B'Psulim. Therefore, that Kohen who became a Psua Daka does not have a Heter to marry those people. In other words, let's explain one more time, very quick, what we just said out loud, and then we can outside, and then we're going to see how this relates back to us. Reb Chaim brings a very, very interesting phenomenon. You have a guy, a Kohen, right? So that Kohen, right, has two different sets of Yisurim on it. You have the people that the Kohanim are not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry them either, right? You have the Kohen has the people that no one's allowed to marry. He's also not allowed to marry them. The Kohen, in the case that the Rambam was discussing, becomes a Psua Daka. Comes a Psua Daka. Says the Rambam, a very interesting split ticket, that Kohen is now allowed to marry people that other Kohanim are not allowed to marry. He can marry a Grusha, Chalutza, all the things. But that same person, right, is still not allowed to marry any of the classic psulim, any of the classic people he's not allowed to marry. Now why? If we just said he became a psua daka, and he lost his kedusha of the kahuna, and he's allowed to marry all of those people that he previously couldn't have married, why don't we say the same thing? He's a psua daka, can't marry regular Jews, he lost his regular level of kedusha as Israel, should be allowed to marry anyone else out there. The answer is, Reb Chaim says, is what?
The
two different categories, but how? How?
Because it's not.
Each one is a.
Okay. Yeah, go
you
ahead.
You just do it.
It's not. It's
what were the two sides of the coin? What was the question about why psulim are allowed to intermarry with the other psulim? Do you say that it's because there was a kedusha, or special din, right? Special rule. So let's take a look at this case one more time. I want you guys to be able to get this far time. If you got this next point, then the rest of the mamash is going to flow like water. Okay? The question now is, let's get the halacha. The Kohen who becomes a Psua Daka. Who is he allowed to marry? Who is he not allowed to marry? He's allowed to marry Psule Kohuna. Okay, now what does that seem to indicate? He lost some kind of a status, right? Something happened. He's allowed to marry them. He's not allowed to marry Psule Ko, even though he's a Psule Ko, he's a Psua Daka, but he's not allowed to marry the other one. Okay? What? What's the difference? If you're going to say. Right? So it's clear that there's different rules being used for Kohanim being able to, right, losing that whatever it is, and for regular people. What's the difference? Reb Chaim says that's exactly what I'm pointing out over here. The reason why you're allowed to marry the other, the up until now, Psule Kahuna, is because you lost your Kedushas Kahuna, right? But the Psua Daka is still not allowed to marry the other Psulim. Why? Because he still has his full level of being a Jew. He's a Jew like anybody else. I can't just chuck that out and marry someone the Jews aren't allowed to marry. I haven't lost that status. So why then? In general, what must be the rule? Why can the Psule Kohal intermarry to other Psule Kohal? Must be, though, back to that idea that it's just a special halacha that the same way, you're Jewish but can't marry him, you're Jewish but are allowed to marry the other person who has that psul. That's a kind raya to his question. Okay, without getting into all the intricacies of the Psua Daka. What does it have to do with the presidency in China, Makos, and the Mitzvishen? Says Reb Chaim straightforward like this. Let's read on Vayta quickly the two paragraphs of the text. Well, the Fizel Nimsa turns out like this. Gabi Edim Zomimim, when it comes to Hazam, Im Yasu Leben Gerusha, let's say you want to make the Kohen, like the Havamin of our Gemara, make him into a Kohen. So what's going to happen? Right, this already we had way back in the beginning. What's going to happen if we say to the Kohen, you now have the status of a Chol? What does he lose? He loses his... loses Kedushas Kohuna. Loses Kedushas Kohuna. Right, he's gone. It's over. If he loses his Kedushas Kohuna because of that Hazama punishment, what's he now going to be allowed to do? Allowed to marry the Pulakuna, the whatever he calls it, the Chalalos, all the Gerushas, all that, right? Okay? Now, he says like this, Nas yiyil a kol dover ki ben Gerusha, bein la chumras, bein la kulos. Cross the board, you become a real Chal. The Kevin Shekola had to the Ben Gerusha, but the Mutter of Psulei Kuhuna, the Veya made dim Psulei Kuhuna, the Kevin Shepazel Kuhuna, the Enel of Kedusha Kuhuna, the Mutter of Psulei Kuhuna. Says the sign very quickly, everything we just said a second ago. Vim came therefore. Gamma Edim Zomimim. Im Yasu the Ben Gerusha, if you're going to make them Chalalim, Yehebehem Psulei Kuhuna, if they're going to become invalidated, Yutaru be Yusurei Kuhuna, they're going to become permitted, allowed, to marry someone like a Gerusha they shouldn't have been able to marry. However, Reb Chaim says like this, Masha'en kein b'isurei kol. But we just learned that that's natural when it comes to the people that are usher to marry into the Klal Yisrael. We don't compare people Kohanim cannot marry to people that Yisraelim can't marry. It's not true. Me'achar de'ena heter noveya me'adim psul. We just tried to establish that the heter for the mamzer to marry a mamzer. It's not because if you're a mamzer, you're not as Jewish as everyone else. Kim Dized Din Bisure Kol. This is a special rule about the people that are usher to marry Jews, Hutu Lobo Zebazer, they're allowed to marry within themselves alone. The Imkain the Vetso. Im no marbi Aidim Zomim im din the kasha zomim. Let's say we would come to an Aid Zomim and say, oh, you want to make a Mitzri Shani who's not allowed to marry a Jew? We're gonna make you a Mitzri Shani. What happened? Ein ze ki im al chumra. That could only be if we're trying to punish you with Hazama and say, you're a Mitzri Sheni. What is that going to end up affecting? Only the Chumrah side. Meaning, you can't marry a Jew. La Osra Lakal, Avabat, Loa Lakulos, Latayram Bepsulekal. But it's not going to allow the new Edomim / Mitzri Sheni to marry another Mitzri Sheni. Why not? One more time. Because if you're going to say that the whole reason why someone who's puzzled can marry another puzzled person is because we have a special rule, a heter, a rule that psulim are allowed to marry each other, right? When it comes to hazama, what's hazama meant to be? One word, starts with a P, ends with a T. A punishment. There you go. Shkach, quick thinking. Hazama is meant to be a punishment. So what? If we've already proven, right, that all these psulei kahuna, psulei kal, have two separate dinim to them. If you're puzzled, there's one halacha that says you can't marry a Jew. There's another halacha that says you are allowed to marry a psul. When we come to punish the eight zomim, what's the only thing out of those two that we can use as a punishment to him? To limit who we can marry, to say you're not allowed to marry the other Jews. Am I going to come and say, oh, you're an Eidomim, let's let you now marry Psulei Kal? You can't say that. That's not a punishment. You can't apply that other halacha. So what happens? Let's go with the flow here without reading the next sentence. Like, we should all see where we're going right now. Would it be legitimate to say, if the aide came in and said, you are a Mitzri Sheni, right? Now by making him a Mitzri Sheni, what's going to happen? How many ramifications?
Two.
Right? He's also to marry Jews. But if he's actually a Mitzri Sheni, he can marry another Mitzri Sheni. But if you're going to make me an aide zone name and say, you become a Mitzri Sheni, I'm punishing you by ushering you from marrying other Jews, right? The only thing we're allowed to apply to that aide zone is the
Chumra.
You can't marry a Jew. But we're not going to allow him to marry Mitzri Sheni. Is that Vasisim Lokash Zomalasos Da'achiv? Not in the slightest bit. Right? So says Reb Chaim, that is your Joe Simple Teretz over here. I told this Kasha. Why don't we make the guy into a Mitzri Sheni? Why do we say you only get Malkus? Because you can't properly give Hazama and make a guy a Mitzri Sheni. We're never going to let him be the same as a real Mitzri Sheni. That's not a punishment to let him marry other Mitzri Shenis, Imam Zerim, and all of that kind of stuff. So, therefore, Hazama is not actually applicable. That's the Chaim's Teretz on Tosafot's Kasha. Questions on the teretz before we go weiter within Tosis, is why do Tosis agree with that teretz? Yeah, because it seems to be a simple teretz. So what's Tosis going to argue back on Reb Chaim? In other words, to rephrase that, that's such a good teretz, why didn't Tosis think of that? Tosis doesn't say that, right? Tosis has this whole thing, lo, lo, ishto. Why not just say Hazama is utterly inappropriate over here? You answer your own question. Better not to ask in the first place next time, right? Keep your mouth shut. DL, teach you a lesson. But give me the answer. You know the answer already, though. You do. This is, by the way, let me just, this is pause commercial break over here for a second. The beauty of lumdus, of analytical thought, right? Conceptual analysis, is that you always end up with the answers if you follow the process, right? So what's the answer over here? Let me give you a little hint. We had a chakir. You know what a chakir means? There were two sides, right, to bring, how to understand the argument of Sulekal. What we were using to answer Tosa's question was one analysis, one concept about why Sulekal are allowed to intermarry with each other, right? But that probably then means that Tosa, who doesn't use Reb Chaim's answer, held to the other side of the coin. Right, that's why, again, like I said before, whenever you're analyzing something conceptually with lumdus, you're always going to have the answers right in front of you. So what is Tosis, what's the reason why Tosis doesn't agree with that? So go with it. So what's the reason why Tosis is not going to agree? Either way, that's name games already. Right? Reb Chaim is a beautiful, right? In other words, what Reb Chaim says is clearly a legitimate possibility. Eilav eilav divrei elokim chayim. So now the question is, where was Tosis coming from? Why didn't he like it? What seems to be perfectly logical terror. Huh? Because if you're going to say that the psul, right? Let me rephrase that. That came out wrong. If you're going to say that the reason why the psulim are allowed to marry into each other is because what a psul really is removing a level of kedusha. You become a second class citizen. Mimela, all the second classes get intermarry with each other, intramarry, whatever the word is, right? Inter, I don't know what the word is, whatever. So they can marry each other, what?
Intramarry,
right? Yeah. Within the category of second class, they're all the same. It's intramarry, right? Right, intermarry would be a Jew marrying a second class. If all the second class can marry each other, right? Right. Now, whatever it is, that's not really the point. If, what is it? What are we talking about? If you're going to say that the whole idea of why the psulei kohal are allowed to intramarry because they're all type of looked at as a second class, that means once you label someone as a, using our example, Mithri Shani, right, what does that basically mean? You're second class. Okay, second class means two different things. I can't marry first class, and I can marry anyone who's like me. The Tosas apparently look at the Psule Kol as in fact making those psulim as second class citizens. And therefore, Tosis would have said, if I actually would come and say to the Eid Zomen, you be a Mithri Shani right now, what's that going to end up meaning Mimela?
It would be
appropriate. Because not only would he be a Mithri Shani, but he'd also be allowed to marry your actual Mithri Shanises over there. Because he would mamish become a second class citizen. Right? It's not that you're giving him the kulas and the chumras like we explained by a chala, right? Why is the chala, the eight zomim, he said, would have had all the kulas as well? Because it's a shame mipsul. You've become second class, so good. You lost that kedusha, boom, you're in. So what just happened over here, and this is like mamish, like I said before, poetry in motion, the way Reb Chaim has explained this tosis. Tosis not only has given us a answer to a question about Azama, but we've developed a whole now beautiful structure over here about the nature of what it means to be a psul kol. What is that? How does that work? Etc. Right? But without that Reb Chaim, you could have read that Tosis and mamish never seen that whole universe over there, which is one of the reasons why this Reb Chaim is such a beautiful thing. Now, the truth is, if I can beg a... If you know what, you're fine. Take your question, it's probably more important. Because there's a whole other pshat that we want to say over here about the Tosis, and then we're going to roll. The question first, yeah?
Is the Rambam mentioning about Suadaka, is he mentioning about a Kohen?
Yeah.
He said, is Mutter for Grusha and Chulutza? Is the Kohen Mutter in Grusha and Chulutza?
the Kohen becomes a Pura Daka? Yeah.
But he's, right, became Aaron. Okay, fine.
The okay. The next idea we're going to try to speak of is one more teretz that we want to try to present over here about the question of the Tosfos. This teretz was brought out by Rav Aaron Cutler, the great Rashiva of the late Rashiva. It's a beautiful, beautiful svar also. Very nice, a little lumbus, and we actually have the right amount of time over here to do this, and then we are done for the day. Then we have our darja breaks and other activities, etc. Mir Tashem for tomorrow. It should be a very, very chashiv day, by the way, tomorrow. Now, the what Rav Aaron wanted to explain is basically as follows. Let's try to analyze for a second, okay? Remember, this is new London. In other words, you got to sort of erase your mind, which I know is not that difficult for you to do, and now start to be thinking of something else, okay? The first part is done. The idea of thinking of something else is going to be a little more difficult. Rabbi Kala wanted to ask the following question. You have a halacha, right, that a Mitzri Sheni are not allowed to marry into the Kahal, right? A Mitzri, what we call Mitzri Shlishi, the third level down is. Okay. Now, this here is actually extremely easy to understand. Okay, and I'm going to actually try and make it even more babyish than it actually might have been to shoot low, as we sometimes like to do. But let's take a look at the picture over here. Mitzri Rishon, not allowed to marry. Mitzri Sheni, yes. Mitzri Shlishi, Mitzri Sheni, also not. Mitzri Shlishi, yes. Okay. The question is very, very simply over here. Why does that happen? Why is it that the Mitzri Shlishi is allowed to marry? The simplest way of looking at that little picture, and the reason why I made the lines over here is to get the visual aid over here, is going to be what? To try to take it away, Hanan?
Less of a Mitzri.
Less of a Mitzri. In other words, let's call Mitzri Rishon, when he converts these on a scale of 1 to 10, he's like a 10, and the Mitzri Sheni becomes a 5, and by the time you get to the Mitzri Shlishi, you're down to a 1 or a 0, and whatever, it's out of your system. You're so far gone, etc., etc. The other way of looking, though, at why the Mitzri Shlishi is allowed to marry into the Kahal is going to be what? This one you have to be a little more creative for. That's pushing it. We'd have to try to figure out what that would mean exactly in this context. But let's Mamashe, not a crazy far, but let's what?
Okay,
it's a good take there. Keep going with that. Okay, stop right there before you go on. The first part of what you said is very much on the ball. Do you have another easy way of explaining why the Mitzri Shlishi is allowed to marry into the Kahal? By saying like this, it's not that it's funneled down and so diluted, the Mitzriism, by the time you get to the third generation, that okay, fine, what's the big deal? But like this, the Pasuk Lamaisa says, right, Dor Shlishi Yavo Lehem Bikal Hashem, and one might, again, using a simple lumdus phrase, one of these classic expressions, which would be what? The Shame Shlishi. The Mitzias, let me explain what that means. So when the Torah says a third generation Mitzri is allowed to marry in, the reason why you're allowed to marry in is because the Torah, again, I'm going to make this overly simple, but I'm going to have to explain a little bit more. Once you hear the example, this will be clear. The Torah says that if you're a third generation, that Mitzias by itself is what matir you to end up marrying a Jew. In other words, you have to be somebody who's a third generation Mitzri ger Mitzri, to be mutter lavo bakal. In other words, it's not that it's diluted down by three generations and therefore you're not a mitzri anymore, but if you have a status, a personal status, a reality of being the third generation mitzri, the Torah places a heter on a third generation mitzri. Okay?
Why?
What?
But why?
And I don't care. I'll be honest, I don't care, it doesn't matter.
Din bifnei atzma.
Huh? If you want a phrase like that, it's a din bifnei atzma, a chiddush or something. A mitzri shlishi is allowed to marry into the kahal. So yeah, take it away. But I think you probably figure out where we're going. Yeah.
Is it a heter for the third or a din against the first?
Beautiful, beautiful expression, right? As Jenna just pointed out, what we're really saying is, right, is this a special heter for a third generation, or is it something against Issa, whatever you want to call it, for the first two, which is exactly what we're asking, right? Or is it that the first two are bad, but by the time you get to three, okay, fine, ain't that bad? Or is the point, one and two, whatever they are, doesn't really matter, but a third generation, boom, the Torah puts a green light, you're in, and you can marry a Jew. To say Reb Aaron Cutler as follows, he wanted to claim the following svara to be able to understand. I mean, Matari tells this question. He wanted to claim like this, that the emes is that there's no chiluk, there's no qualitative difference between a first generation, second generation mitzvah. It's not that it goes down from point, 10 degrees of mitzvahism to 5 degrees of mitzvahism to zero. That's all a mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't matter. You're not allowed to marry into the cult. The only thing is, right, like we just explained, the third generation has a special head. But now the shayla will become like this. Let's say you make a guy into a mitzvah. You're a mitzvah shayla. Well, I mean, the original Adam. We're testing when you're a mitzvah, right? A mitzvah shayla. So the way we just suggested, right, one of the ways of looking at this would have basically said, it's not that you're a mitzvah shayla. The point is you're a mitzvah. Now, if I'm really making you into a mitzri, right, again, the Adam testifying about the needs on it first, but that also means the implication, like we described yesterday a little bit, that your father obviously would have been a mitzri also. Okay, so I basically bounced out the two generations. And the next guy, right, then your children would have that status of, you're the third generation mitzri, you're allowed to marry in to the cult. The problem is, the Baron Kutler says like this, if you want to do vasisim lokashe zom lasozom, right? You want to apply the punishment of the Hazama over to the AIDS domain. So what happens right now? Was my father a mitzri rishon? Was he a convert? Is anyone actually suggesting? Does anyone believe that for a second? No, clearly not. Correct? We know my father was not a mitzri. In other words, when the AIDS are testifying about the nidon, that's included in their testimony is you come from a family of Gerim. That's what they're saying. But the punishment of Hazama, right, is not trying to change historical fact and reality. We're just trying to punish you, right? So what does that mean with punishing you? We're going to make you into a mitzri who's not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. That's very, very nice. Are you a mitzri sheni? Are your kids going to be allowed to marry a Jew? No. Why not? Because your kids are not what?
Because
they're not. It's very simple. They're not a mitzvah shlishi because they are not. Because they are not a third generation mitzvah. As a matter of fact, in this family right now, the very first mitzvah guy that ever came onto the stage is me. But the key, Rabbi Aaron said, is to understand that a mitzvah is a mitzvah. There is no qualitative difference. That's why I used that expression before. That's the key sentence. There is no qualitative difference between a mitzvah rishon or a mitzvah sheni. It's all the same. In order to be mutter, lovo, bakal, what do you have to be? A third generation. If we're going to make the Edomim into a mitzri, we're making him into a mitzri, that's true. But his kids are not a third generation. They're going to be also to marry Jews still. Therefore, it's an absolute lack of hazama, totally not hazama, to have made them into, what do you call, into a mitzri. That's why, we're going to end up being forced to give them malka. Now, once again, like we did before, your question was, what is Tosafot? And your answer is, you should have been ready.
Yeah, I know.
I always stick on the same people. I'm very, what do you call it, very nice about that. No, it's okay. Tosis is going to say, we'll even call that acceptable for right now. What Tosis is going to say, okay, we're being nice, we're not talking to mean right now, okay, we got to go. Tosis will basically say like this, that he's going to argue and say the other side of that coin. Mitzri Rishon and Mitzri Sheni are actually two different categories, qualitatively different. The Mitzri Sheni is actually less of a Mitzri than a Mitzri Rishon, right? And therefore, if we're going to take the Edomim and say, you be a Mitzri Sheni, we're actually not making him into a real Mitzri. He's only a Mitzri Sheni. If that's the case, by the time he has a kid, the next generation, that kid's going to be more of a pure blood than the father was. You'll be Mutter, you would have been Mutter Levavakal. That's why Tosas can't give that answer that there about a couple ones to give. Tosas is going to have to say, right, that no, kid would have been Mutter. Aye, why can't we make the guy into a Mitzri? Then lo, below the Ishta. Right, so with that terrace, we have another mahalach now, not just an understanding psulei kol in general, like Reb Chaim wanted to analyze, but focusing on the specifics of the dynamics of the Mitzri Rishon through Shlishi, we have another now, really honestly beautiful answer to that question, and it works at a machlokas then over here, about that kash of itosis, and Amir Seshem, next time we're picking up with the Kufra Kapor 8 and the Kapor issues, and all of that. Amir Seshem and Thursday.